It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a book that's bringing up tough conversations about race is growing in popularity in Wisconsin schools. We'll take a closer look in a special collaboration with Wisconsin Life. First, our next interview covers the topic of suicide, which has been in the news all this week. If you or a loved one are feeling suicidal, you can find help by calling the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. New research published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that suicide rates have increased across the country by 25% since 1999. According to the CDC, nearly 45,000 deaths in 2016 were attributed to suicide. The release of the reports coincides with two high-profile deaths by suicide this week, Chef Anthony Bourdain and designer Kate Spade. Our next guest is here to talk about the research and about public health efforts that can help prevent suicide. Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor and associate dean of public health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, based on past conversations we've had as a public health expert, I'm guessing these new numbers, while alarming, are not that surprising to you.
Well, they're both surprising and not. They're not surprising in that we've known that suicide is a leading public health problem, and that people really don't appreciate it because there's a stigma related to suicide and related to a common cause of mental illness. But it is surprising that it's one of three causes of death that has been increasing. And we like to think in public health and in healthcare that we're learning more and taking that knowledge and applying it into prevention and into practice. And we'd hope to see progress in every area of health and healthcare. And this is one area where we're going in the wrong direction.
What do we know about why suicide numbers might be going up in Wisconsin and around the country?
Well, the CDC published a really detailed report. Not only do they collect data from every state from death certificates, which tell you a little bit about the cause, the means, for example, whether it's poisoning or caused by a firearm. But for 27 states, they got much more detailed information, including history of mental illness, including whether the decedent left a suicide note, and all sorts of detailed information. So I encourage the readers to go to the CDC webpage and check out the incredible amount of detailed information. What we see is that suicide is really complicated, that there are no single causes, and that meaning that the solutions, that interventions or prevention approaches, are going to have to be just as complex.
Mental health is often mental health problems are often associated with suicide. This report finds, yes, often, but not always, a very substantial proportion of the people they studied here hadn't been diagnosed with mental illness prior to suicide.
That's right. About half, just slightly over half of people had a history of mental illness. Most of that was depression, but fully half of people who committed suicide did not have such a history and did not have any evidence from their past medical history that might suspect that they would commit suicide. I do think when those cases are examined closely, and again, this data is online, they can see some evidence of suicidal thoughts. They can see some evidence of financial problems, some stress in relationships. So although those aren't considered, you know, a diagnosis of mental illness, they certainly are factors that increase the risk of suicide.
Economic problems. We had the economic downturn. Is that something, you know, it may be hard to pick out at the individual level, but at the societal level, is that something that can drive an increase in suicide?
Well, in two ways. We, of course, hear about this anecdotally, the story of a relationship that breaks up, a diagnosis of cancer or a foreclosure on a farm. Individual grabs a gun or goes out and hangs himself. So those are anecdotal. But there's good evidence that In addition to a history of mental illness, these everyday stresses can accumulate, and for some people, lead to suicide. And the other factor that the report talks about is the combination of stress or mental illness combined with access to a lethal means. And firearms are clearly the most efficient and effective way to kill oneself. People have a relatively easy access to firearms. And so if you, it's really a perfect storm that maybe an economic downturn or unemployment or increases in substance abuse, you combine that with easy access to firearms. Again, not necessarily the individual's firearm. It could be firearms stored in the home or of a parent or a relative. And those two factors really are deadly.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health about new numbers out from the CDC showing an alarming increase in suicide in Wisconsin and around the United States. Dr. Remington, let's talk about prevention now. We hear messages, especially after high-profile suicides, as we've seen a couple this week, for people dealing with this problem to seek help. Is there enough help out there right now?
Well, clearly there's not. The healthcare system is pretty good at diagnosing medical illnesses and treating people who have traditional chronic illness or cancers or heart disease. But we have an insufficient number of primary care providers, especially in rural and underserved areas, and in particular, people who focus on mental health. So that's one barrier. And again, I'm looking at a map of Wisconsin that our state health department put together. There's an excellent report that really dives deep into the data done by our colleagues at the Medical College of Wisconsin and the state health department. And you can see the rural counties have the highest rates. Adams and Juneau County lead the state, Green Lane County, Vilas County, Burnett and Polk. These are places with an acute shortage, not just of primary care doctors, but of mental health providers. And you combine that with a stigma that is present with mental illness. People are afraid to go and seek a provider, afraid to, that friends or neighbors or family members would find out. And so you have barriers all along the way for the detection and treatment of mental illness.
I want to talk about that stigma and the rural area. In the commentary on this report, it was brought up, if there is one provider, say a mental health care provider in a rural community, it's a small rural community, everybody knows what everybody else drives, and if there's that stigma, do you want people to see your car parked in front of the mental health provider? That overcoming that stigma, even where the services are available, might be a big part of the story here.
I don't think we have the answer to that question. I served on a panel at the CDC, and the goal of the discussion was to overcome the stigma of mental health. And I asked the question, why do we call it mental health? We call other things diseases. Cancer now is not stigmatized as much as it was. And so we still call it mental health providers when, in fact, people have a disease. They have a brain disease. They have mental illness. And they need to be in care. And care can be very effective. But if even the term mental health is a way of not actually saying the word mental illness or a mental disorder. And so we have to overcome the stigma. That's a goal of the nation, goal of our state health plan, but it is very hard to do. We had a family member who committed suicide, and although it's been talked about within the family, it really is not shared more publicly, and we really need to get over that. Mental illness is a condition that can be diagnosed and treated effectively, but again, the stigma is a tremendous barrier.
Overcoming that stigma is probably a long-term change. Some of the resource issues might be, too. Is there something that could happen quickly, maybe not super expensive, to try to get more access to care to rural Wisconsin?
Well, again, there's an excellent state health plan available, and it's a comprehensive approach. We like to think about these complex issues and talk about a public health approach, which means it's not sort of a single solution. It's a complex set of solutions. So you want to reduce the risk of suicide by better care and diagnosis of mental illness, and also people who maybe express concerns about their mental health. You also need to reduce access to lethal means. And there are effective ways of doing that, trigger locks, locking guns in homes so that youth and others can't access it that might be considering killing themselves.
We'll leave it there for now. Dr. Remington, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Dr. Patrick Remington is a professor and associate dean of public health at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about a recent report from the CDC, which found the rates of suicide increasing across the country, including here in Wisconsin. If you or a loved one are feeling suicidal, you can reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK. That's 800-273-8255.